Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Stories are why Colossus Theater is full on the weekends. It's why we write songs. It's why when we come back from vacation, we want to show each other pictures and tell us each other what's happened. There's something about stories that matter to us. And really good stories entertain us. Really good stories teach us things. But the very best stories show us who we really are. And the best story I think that humanity has to offer, we understand and believe as Christians, is the story of Jesus. And it's powerfully seen, not just in the New Testament and in history of the last 2,000 years and longer, but it's also seen in our actual lives. And the scriptures say that when we share our story, there's victory with that. There's transformation with that, that there's power in that as we understand God's work in our stories, in his greater story. And so we've been celebrating story and hearing from people over the past few weeks, and we're going to hear a couple more weeks as well, of different kinds of stories. Last week we heard from Harold, and this week we get to hear from Rainier. Rainier has been in our community for about 3 years or so, and he is just a fantastic guy. He's become a good friend, and I think the best way to define Rainier is just the word solid. He's just a solid dude. I think he's awesome. And so we get to hear his story today, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So Rainier, wherever you are, come on up. Let's say hi to Rainier.
Good morning. It's, I guess, noon. Still morning. I'm used to going to church earlier at the Willoughby campus, and I've been enjoying the series in Philippians. Actually, when I was a kid, I thought it was called the Book of Philippines. And I don't, maybe it was because of the way the Filipino pastor said it. I was like, wow, it's so multicultural. God is so multicultural. The Book of Philippians. I was like, Mom, he's talking about us. God's talking about us. So personal, Jesus is. Well, this is my story. Again, my name is Rainier. I grew up in the Greater Toronto Area, or the GTA, as it's commonly called, and after my family immigrated to Canada in the late 80s. I came to BC just a couple years ago. Anyone from Ontario? Yeah? Okay, a few. Culturally, Filipinos are generally religious, and in the Philippines, I was then identified as a Catholic on my birth certificate, and later baptized as an infant. The cultural experience of Christianity was part of my upbringing. I went to Protestant churches and Catholic school throughout my childhood. So I heard about Jesus and even prayed from time to time, but I never really lived with a surrendered life, nor understood the gospel of Jesus. As the first family of many relatives who later followed us to Canada, it was busy hosting families who were immigrating year to year. We also moved a fair bit throughout the GTA during my childhood, as my parents were settling into their careers. When I was in grade 7, we moved as a family again to what was then a new residential community in Mississauga, Ontario. This was the beginning of my downward spiral that eventually led to God revealing himself to me at the lowest time in my life. Beginning in grade 7, I started a friendship with an older neighborhood youth who I went with to empty houses still under construction, where we spent a lot of our time drinking alcohol, smoking, and playing cards. I didn't have many friends in the neighborhood, so I just went along. This was the beginning of my problems with substance abuse. In high school, my exposure to other drugs soon led to excessive use. I was getting high all day, every day, skipping classes, becoming heavily involved in the party scene, and I became disrespectful to authority and my parents. One day, a friend approached me and asked me to sell drugs for him. I thought it was a good idea because that would mean I could have a part-time job. But when I started selling drugs, all my profit went into my drug habit, which I actually didn't mind. During this time, I experienced an intense emptiness, which led to depression. I thought more drugs, more friends, more parties would drown out this void I felt inside. But I only caved deeper into depression, anger, confusion, and darkness. On more than one occasion, I overdosed and often saw my life as meaningless without true purpose. At this point, I believed in God, but I was too afraid to turn to Him for help because I was in such a mess. I ignored God and continued to try to fill the vacuum my soul experienced by attempting to fix my own problems with no success. I had thoughts that God wouldn't want to take me in, that I was too filthy and ragged a sinner. I thought I had to get cleaned up before facing God, or He would tell me how bad I was if I ever asked for Him. I completely misunderstood the Father's heart. My mother and grandmother were women of faith and prayer. It was obvious that something was wrong with me, and the Lord moved my mother and many others to prayer. I would wake up at 5 a.m. or 6 with my mother standing by my bedside praying. I thought this was a little scary. My mother and grandmother sent my picture and name to a bunch of prayer ministries, churches, relatives, and other people I did not know. Later, when I became a Christian, I met some of these people, and they said, "Oh, I know you." And I would ask, "How?" And they would say, "You're on my fridge." I say, "Oh, okay, thank you." So that was great. So God was always working, but had my attention when I got kicked out of school again, this time for drug trafficking. I was told that I was potentially going to be expelled from the school board. My parents were shocked to hear me confess that I had been abusing drugs for the past 4 to 5 years. My relationship with my dad was a bit rocky at the time, and after my dad had his yelling fit across the dinner table, I left to go to my room. I sat there thinking about my life. The lights were turned off, and there was moonlight from the night sky coming in through my window. I remember my mom. She walked into the room, tears running down her cheeks. She sat down beside me, asked me why. Why I was doing these things. They sacrificed so much to come to Canada, so much for my sisters and I, to have a better life. But I took that all for granted. She put her arms around me, started praying this very deep, raw prayer from her soul. Jesus, save my son. Jesus, save my son. That night, the Holy Spirit used my mother to lead me to Jesus, and I asked Him to fill my life, to have His way in my heart, and to be my Lord and Savior. That night, I experienced the flood of God's presence and love fill my soul as my mother and I prayed. The next day, I was told that I would not be expelled from the school board, but that they would give me the maximum suspension on condition that I go to youth rehab. I started going to a youth substance abuse program, eventually met many who were praying for me, and joined my cousin's youth group, where I encountered God's healing presence over my soul in such a deep and profound way. I was constantly drunk on the love of God, filled and baptized with His Spirit. When I returned to school, God used me to share the gospel to all my friends and the junkies and the dealers and everyone at the house parties. I was set ablaze with the fire of God. Today I see everything in my life as a result of God's grace. His love and grace continues to be at work in my life, whether that's being Christ in the inner city with friends on the street, mentoring and coaching at-risk youth, or playing music for folks at homeless shelters. It's always been a response to the revelation of God. I've often felt the closeness of Jesus while getting messy with those who feel broken, misunderstood, and forgotten about. In some way, I think when I am experiencing life with people, I mysteriously share in Christ's sufferings. I share in His grace, His compassion, and His love. I've been really encouraged and challenged again lately while meditating on 1 John 4. I believe an important truth that has formed and shaped my testimony comes from 1 John 4:19, which says, "We love because He first loved us." That has been my resting place. The only way, the first and greatest commandment to love God and others is even possible for me is through learning to abide in the love of God. It's worth more than anything. I think the woman who wiped the feet of Jesus with her tears understood this. As Jesus said of her, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. Her love response to God's grace was extravagant. My prayer for us is that we wouldn't just know about the love of God, but that we would know the love of God. I desire by his grace to grow more in this area, to know how wide, how high, how deep his love for me really is. When I think I'm having an off day or fail to recognize his goodness in my present circumstance, I often pray, Holy Spirit, remind me again how much the Father loves me. You could do that right where you're sitting today. Holy Spirit, remind me how much the Father truly loves me. Then I just wait in stillness for him to speak, to remind me of his love that carries me forward. If you're interested in serving with me and experiencing God's love in a practical way, every third Friday, a group of us head down to Douglas Park to provide a community meal, give haircuts for men, manicures for ladies. I don't do that, but, and pray for people and have great conversations. If that's not your thing, I encourage you to find something, somewhere where you can express the love of God practically. There's never a shortage of things to do. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. It's just a matter of plugging in. Thank you for listening to my story. And if you have any questions about what I've just shared, I'd be happy to connect with you later. God really loves you. Let that sink in today.